Especially now that a lot of things going to be automated and replaced with AI, or so I don't think AI is there to replace a few things. I think it's not there to replace yet the human connections, and we do see, for example, a lot of events like only growing, and a lot of meetings and dinners only growing. So I think a lot of the human connections there. And trying to understand how you manage to do that with your marketing is something super important. But I also think the creative aspect, being kind of the brain, having a good even taste and connecting all the dots together and understanding exactly the strategy, I feel that this is where marketers need to put more of their efforts.
CMO Convo. I'm Michal Lassman, your host and a global marketing leader. And today we have with us Idan Goh, VP of Marketing at Ox Security. Hi, Idan. I'm so happy to have you as my guest.
Hey, Michal, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was very much looking forward for our interview, just for you to know. We have a very exciting topic. Yeah.
Me too. I know you for a while now, it's exciting to always exciting, to be here, and thank you.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you. So before we're going to dive into today's topic, which is, of course, AI, the future of marketing, where is everything and the buzzwords are going currently, I would love it, Idan, if you can share a bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. So I'm in marketing, I think, for around like 14, 15 years now. Started off actually for more like user acquisition, B2C. Moved to product marketing, been in companies like 888, Wix.com, etc. And then I grew to lead larger marketing teams, and also decided to move to startup world. So I've been in cybersecurity in a company called Mend. Then I moved to Mesh Payments, where I spent 4.5 years leading the marketing from bottom up. And now recently joined to Ox Security as a VP marketing. So yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, and it's a super interesting journey as well. So thank you very much for sharing. Idan, I would love to talk with you about the topic. So what actually led me to want to interview is a very exciting role that you have opened in your team, which was Vibe Growth Marketing. And when I looked at the job description, it looked completely different from the regular kind of like growth marketing roles that I've saw. It included AI powered workflows, growth experiments, MVPs without dwelling on engineering. This is a quote, by the way. So I would love to understand from your perspective now, when you're in Ox Security and you're building your new team, what is your vision for the department and how does the AI kind of like weave into it? And also, what is Vibe Growth Marketing?
Yeah, so first of all, we had a lot of fun also shaping the role, and I want to give a shout out to my CEO, because not everyone will just, go with you for it. So Nitzan, thank you for that. But really, Vibe Growth Marketing basically is a role that I see it as someone in the marketing team that is gluing and being somewhere working with everyone in the team. To make sure that AI is really being implemented. I really believe that, marketeers can do a lot more. And I think we're kind of the first one to fully, integrate marketing, because content was like the first thing to kind of be there out of the box from AI. And I really believe that, marketeer can really do a lot of things. We're trying to do a lot of creative campaign. We're trying to do a lot of experiments. We're trying to do a lot of things. And you have such an amazing tools now, like Base 44 and Lovable and ChatGPT to do it. But I feel like no one is really taking the time in the marketing team to sit down and starting to build all of it. And we need someone to kind of help us in every area to see and define how we can do that to automate ourselves and grow much faster.
If I understood correctly, this person is essentially supporting everyone inside the marketing unit. So not just performance, not just, content production. It's kind of like a person who is there to support the entire operation. Did I understood it correctly?
Yeah, definitely. So for me, it's someone that come and help in every area. You come and help with the content, you come to help with creative, campaigns that we want to do. It comes in help with the growth and especially marketing operations, where we're trying to connect a lot of things. So basically, we really wanted to have someone that is dedicated, fully understand AI and how to leverage it in the maximum and you know, helping everyone else to do their job much more efficient.
Yeah, so it sounds super innovative. And to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of these roles, but probably we will see more and more of that emerging in the field. And I would love to ask for our listeners, you know, because our audience partially is VPs and CMOs, but also emerging marketing leaders. And I think that one of the questions that everyone is now keen to know of is kind of like, where should we put our effort, right? So what is it that marketeers should learn? What type of skills should they develop? Where should we put our weight on?
Yeah, it's really valid question, especially now that a lot of things are going to be automated and replaced with AI or, you know. So I don't think AI is there to replace a few things. I think it's not there to replace yet the human connections. And we do see, for example, a lot of events like only growing and a lot of meetings and dinners only growing. So I think a lot of the human connections there and trying to understand how you manage to do that with your marketing is something super important. But I also think the creative aspect, being kind of the brain, having a good even taste and connecting all the dots together and understanding exactly the strategy. I feel that this is where marketers need to put more of their efforts. And eventually, you know, they're going to be, we still always need someone to kind of be in the back and say, okay, this is good, this is not good, this is speak to my customer after I spoke with them and I understand them. This is what's going to tick them. This is the emotion I want to kind of deliver with something. So I think that all the strategy behind the scene, both in the growth, by the way, because you're always trying to be unique, and especially in the creative part, is something super important. And I think if you don't do that and you just let AI do its thing, it's just going to be generic. And being generic is the enemy of your marketing success.
100%, 100%. I think that another interesting question would be how could AI serve brand, right? Because essentially, if us humans, let's kind of like define it like that, holds the strategy and the creative part. So how can we leverage AI to build on top of the automation, but then we still stay in the driver's seat? Essentially, I think that is, if I'm trying to recap what you said.
Yeah. So I think, look, if you tell AI, you know, come and write me 5 ideas for a campaign to do something now, you probably need to understand that those 5 items it will bring, it will be the most common thing and not kind of the innovation of marketing and things that you want to see in order to break through the noise, right? So I feel like if you're really trying to nail something that is super good, super clever, and break through the noise, you have to still have the human part of it. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of AI noise. You see it. There's a lot of content now being generated with AI. There's a lot of videos generated with AI, and it's only going to grow and grow. So no, if everyone will do the same, no one will be unique. So it's not like you can just start to make much more content now and it's give you some kind of leverage. Everyone can leverage AI now. Everyone has it. You have to break through the noise. So that's how I feel you still need to be the marketeer that managed to break through the noise, no matter what you do, by the way, whether it's like the noise of demand generation and growing or creative and content, you have to still have someone behind the wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 100% supporting of that. So moving forward for the next question, right? I think that we all know the shift between Gen AI to agentic AI and also to organizational level, right? So if it started with a bottom-down type of like demand, now it's top-down. So organizations are starting to actually integrate AI, such as your team. And I would love to know, because everyone claims that they have integrated AI, but the truth is that some teams are still kind of like encountering some issues. So when it comes to the actual adoption, what have you encountered? How does it really look like?
Yeah. I think I'll speak to marketing, although I fully support what you said. And I'm speaking to a friend of mine in huge companies, even developers, etc. Their management now starting to implement AI all the way from up to the bottom. So it's like more of a mandatory thing for increasing production now. Looking at marketing, I think it's still a little bit like individual. I'll say it this way. It's not in an org level. It's not like in maybe a lot of team don't do it yet in kind of the team level. So I feel like a lot of people individually use ChatGPT or Gemini, and some of them use Base44, some of them use VO3 or taking an agency to do it for them. But there's no still true connection of and not still clear strategy around that within the marketing, what we need to do and what it's best to do. And I feel a lot of it is also because a lot of people have their own KPIs. So if I need to make something happen and I need to make, bring certain amount of leads, I don't want to deal now with understanding how to build everything from scratch with a AI, although it's probably gonna, improve me, but it will take it like 3 months to build it or so. So first of all, that's the reason why we hired the Vibe Growth marketeer, because I want someone that this is his dedication and can see everything everywhere and can start build it in the back. And that's how fully invested I am with implementing AI in my team. But I feel, I still, as you mentioned, I still don't see a lot of other teams fully starting to really, having people doing that. But I do see everyone using AI for a lot of different type of projects, etc. So I feel we're still not yet that mature in fully implementing AI in the marketing teams, but I guess it's really also depends on the team itself and what they do. But that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Like when you open LinkedIn, it seems as if everyone is they're there already and you're behind and you haven't learned something and you haven't studied something. And of course, this is far from the reality. And I want to touch base a bit about, the new structures that we're going to see in teams, because we all notice that, yes, people are starting to restructure teams according also to the AI use case. In your team, of course, is the growth mark is the growth by marketing role. But how as a leader, how do you make sure that you keep the creativity going and the AI is leveraging you and not replacing the more strategic type of thinking, or that people don't overuse it, right? Because it's also a bit of a temptation, right? You have it there. It does
Exactly.
things way faster. So how do we keep the balance in the right way?
That's a great question. And I think, first of all, regarding the team, first of all, I think like every revolution or evolution, we need to understand that it will take time, right? It's not like now you can replace everyone with AI and that's it. And I see companies, like really seen companies trying to do that in areas, including marketing, including SDR, including others, and they still failed. And I think we're not there yet, first of all, to fully do that. And second, as we talked before, like the creative part of this of marketing, I don't think it's going to change. So I think, we're still gonna need human, and you need to identify where you have. In every team, I guess, especially in marketing, you have like the kind of the work generators, the ones that really think about everything, that's creating the ideation behind campaigns and stuff. And then you have the one that executing it. I think the execution part will see shrinking, and I think we already do see, for example, content team shrinks. And what can you do? Like I do it really much faster, but still, even in a content team, I don't think you need to cancel everyone and like send everyone home and don't have anyone behind the scene. I think you probably need to have some kind of an editor, someone that is more strategic, someone that understand more on what maybe to shape like tone of voice and make things a little bit more fun, so it's not gonna be super generic. But we will see marketing team being more productive. And you do need to identify at the end of the day the people that know how to create the campaigns, generate the creatives, generate, you know, kind of be the ones to steer the wheel. And you have to protect those and keep those. Those ones are going to be the key for your success.
Yeah. I think that protection is a strong word here, right? So what should we keep and what should we outsource? And we're going to talk about it a bit later during the interview. I want to touch base upon what you've mentioned, that some companies have already had this type of redundant wave and tried at least to replace real workers with AI. And such an example is Klarna. And a few months ago, for those of you who maybe haven't heard, they fired most of their customer success team. They tried to replace them with AI, only they found out it actually didn't work so well. And now they're rehiring. That is, of course, a huge loss, I think, from every side. Like, it's a lose-lose situation.
Definitely.
It's a lose for the employees. And it's a lose for the company. They probably lost a lot of knowledge and good people that they will now need to rehire, retrain, even if they will not hire the entire team. And I would love to learn from your perspective, what can we actually learn from that? What is the lesson learned also for us marketeers?
Yeah, no, I think Klarna is a classic case of we try to be in the front of the evolution. We try to, you know, they also had the PR play around it. As marketer, we can say it, right? They wanted to be there, to have the AI and it, all the news telling how Klarna is like changing already the future and adapting. And I think a lot of companies thought it's also going to do very well for them in the eyes of the market, their investors, etc. But honestly, I think that what we need to see, especially from the Klarna case, is two things. I think one is that the evolution is not fully there yet. Like, you cannot replace everyone with AI. We're not there yet. Maybe in a few years, you could replace most of your customer success teams, etc. And second, I think, especially in the customer success part of thing, I guess they saw a lot of, you know, churn going on, etc. And I think in the places where the human part is being super strong, I think it's risky, you know, it's risky to do those kind of things. And I think what we can learn is that, great, like AI is here, it's obvious, there are going to be changes, it's going to, you know, it's going to change a lot of how we work and a lot of the teams and the structures. But still, you know, especially if you have companies that you have a lot, you know, you have a lot to lose if you're making those huge changes, I would suggest just to, you know, take the time and understand, you know, how you do it gradually and not doing all at once.
Yeah, I think that from my perspective, it will be much more about having a pilot and maybe then trying to scale. It seems as if everything suddenly became really abruptive. So we forgot about, hey,
exactly.
The same as product launches, right? You first launch a beta, you see a bit of the adoption, or at least you gather a bit of the customer feedback, and only then you fully kind of like launch into the market. But somehow when it comes to team structures, employees, everything is very, seems abruptive in a way, or very, very fast type of strategic thinking, let's just call it that way. And yeah, it's interesting to see what's happening in the market.
I agree. And I have to say, I spoke to a lot of companies and CEOs, and you can see the trends. There's the ones that like, yeah, we need to change everything to AI tomorrow. AI is here. That's it. But I'm more with the people that like, okay, like AI is here. Let's make some changes, definitely. But, you know, still, let's not change everything all at once and you know, hope it's not going to break. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about us marketeers, right?
Yeah.
What type of skills for our audience, what type of skills should we invest in, develop? You can even mention, by the way, tech stack, tools, anything that you believe that could contribute to the audience.
Yeah. So I do think, you know, marketing probably, like everything in marketing, there's so many skill sets, right? There's people from, you know, like content writer wouldn't do design and marketing operation wouldn't do, you know, product marketing. So I think there's a lot of skill sets in marketing and they're still here to stay. But I do think you definitely need to be super involved with AI and tools. I mean, AI tools and what's kind of in the future for you in your domain. So let's take marketing operation, for example. Like their domain is already like super advanced with AI because it's a lot of automations and connections and everything. So definitely you need to be more in the technical aspect of things much more than you maybe were before. And again, I think there's still a lot of place for the people to understand how to restructure all of it, right? So I'm not saying like it's something we need to go, but if we're looking at the high level of the marketing team and what skills do I need to learn as a marketeer, I definitely think, the storytelling is one of the most important things that I don't see go away. I don't think you can yet tell AI, break the story that no one thought about that is exactly fit to my company and the customer, this and that. So I think a lot of storytelling is something that's super important. I think a lot of more strategic thinking, and more thinking high level on what can make a lot of impact. And I think you eventually, like brand, it's something that is going to control the marketing team. So I think a lot of the other thing is going to be more of the same from company to company with AI. A lot of the advantage that bigger companies had with creating a lot of content, doing a lot of this stuff, it's kind of, it's kind of going to stop in a way, the advantage is going to shrink. I'm not saying it's going to stop, but it's going to shrink. But one thing that is never going to stop, and especially now with all the noise AI is going to make, is brand. So if I would go to marketing tomorrow, I would see how I can make, a lot of kind of understanding and lot learn a lot about brands, what make a good brand, what make a good storytelling. I would invest highly in there. Because the brands that will manage to get, out of through the noise that AI is making, that is even more noise than what it is today, those are the brands that's going to win.
So can I challenge you?
Yes.
What contains of a good brand? How would you define a good brand or a good storytelling? What does it
Yeah.
contain for our audience, to, just for them for to better understand?
Yeah, it's a very tough question. I think it's really, it's really changing from company to company, but eventually I think you need, first of all, you need like to understand your customers, okay, and the people you're going after. And I think that that's probably the most important thing. And in order to do that, I think marketeers have to interview a lot of their customers, their prospect, understand a lot of this, to understand how to eventually tell a good story. A good story will be something that eventually will talk to them emotionally and will manage to kind of tell the pain points and the solution in a very simple kind of way, that will make them understand it immediately. And I think brand as a whole, we all know, is eventually speaking as emotion in high level. You can see a lot of big brands. Let's take even Liquid that is like the most popular now. They just implemented themselves very much into culture. Okay, so they decided that they're going with Tony Hawk and skaters. They decided they're going with Extreme. They decided they're doing all type of thing. Kind of took a lot of what Red Bull did in the past, but took it even more to the extreme and more of like a lifestyle, not only extreme. So you can take this brand. They decided to be part of like a culture and be a cultural thing, and then people that can relate to this culture can, relate to the brand. So this is more in kind of B2C, which is more easy to identify. But obviously in B2B we have a lot of other things we can do. Some brands I do see going for or trying to be a little bit more cultural. Some of them trying to just be breaking the noise through all type of, different storytelling than the market and their competitors. It really depends where you are. But overall, I think it's to understand who you're selling, what you're selling, and how to be appealing to them, and how to really create the whole world that they want to live in and they feel part of.
Yeah, I think that you touched very interesting points. So I just want to recap that. So we're talking about the psychological elements, the emotions, the connection that we feel with a brand as well. And also, what does it mean when we use that brand? I think that a lot of, you know, like when you, for example, I think that with Apple is the best example for that, right? Because a brand can also project over to you and it speaks to your heart,
Exactly.
etc. So I think that all of that's really content of a good brand. And I do agree, it doesn't seem as if it's going to go away. And it doesn't seem as if AI will be able to control that or to manipulate that.
Yeah.
But let's see where I will meet us in 5 years from now. I'm very keen to see. I hope I will still be here podcasting, but who knows?
let's put a reminder to hear this podcast in a few years. Where did we should go well and where did we miss?
I feel as if there's a lot of guessing as well, right? Because we all kind of like, no one really knows, but we have the feeling of where is it going to go to? So, yeah.
I agree.
And I would love to ask you this question, which I ask many, by the way, guests in this podcast. And in general, I'm keen to know, is there a way for us marketeers, VPs, CMOs, or emerging leaders, is there a way to future-proof our career? Because with the AI comes also a lot of fear, right? So we don't really know. And is there a way to future-proof our career?
It's a really good question. I think marketeers in general, you know, our career is always always on the line. But honestly, I do think we can, and I think the fact that we can is, again, because brands now more than ever are more important. And you brought Apple, for example. Steve Jobs, the first thing he did when he got back to Apple was creating the Think Different campaign. And you can see how that, you know, resonated with people to think different, how that really managed to take Apple again to being the leader in the computer space. And he did it with brand. He understood the value of brand. So that's what Steve Jobs, for example, did in an amazing way for Apple, more than anyone else probably in the world. And I think that if you manage to stay close to the customer and build judgment, because AI can eventually just decide what's worth saying. I don't think it has like a really good judgment behind it. It's more like inputs from you and trained by a lot of other people. Stay curious and adaptive. You have to be adaptive. Marketers, we always have been, but now with AI, we'll probably need to be like, 10x more adapted than that, understand really the market, what's trendy, what's not, and how we can shape ourselves and be at the front of it, because this is going to be give a lot of leverage to teams and marketing teams that know how to leverage AI in a good way. And eventually, I really think that focusing on the brand is definitely going to stay but be even more important than ever, because, you know, everyone going to make noise, everyone going to write a lot of content pieces. It's going to be harder to compete with this. It's going to be harder to compete with other stuff. Video production that once was like, I have to pay like 100 grand to get something nice. Now it's like, okay, I can, you know, take an agency for a few thousand of dollars and create something crazy. So I think a lot of it, and again, I'll go back to it. If you will make something with AI that is not funny and is just out there and not telling any story, then even if you spend just one, like few thousand dollars, you know, it's not going to work. Or the other way around, if you'll create something that is amazing with AI, it can work much better than someone that just invested like $250,000 for a video that has no story behind it and has nothing behind it. So I think that the creative part of it, the brand, understanding the customers and understanding how to tell a story and how to really build a good brand out there, this is where you should focus, and this is how to eventually secure your career. But again, there's many other aspects in marketing. So I think product marketing, it's pretty obvious and still going to stay. I think marketing operations and growth going to become a lot more automatic and a lot more automation based. They must adapt there, but if they do, you know, they can be the core even of the companies, because I see a lot of SDRs, for example, a lot of team of SDR shrinking, giving a lot of it to marketing operations to do it all automatically. So it really depends where you are, but generally speaking, brand going to rule like everything, because if you have someone that know how to do this well, you won.
Yeah. So it's the rise of AI, but the rise also of brand and human relations, if that is kind of like the key takeaway from the conversation.
I highly believe so. Yeah, I think people are keen for human relation. I see it. I'm in cyber now. We're doing like a million events. I'm not but so many events a year. So, you know, like I see it. I see how people are keen for it. And we definitely see how brand is more important than ever to stand out of the noise. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good, Idan. So this interview went super quickly. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Michal. It's amazing. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and review on your preferred platform. Don't forget to tune in next week for another insightful conversation with the leading CMO.